Simen Kof Yud.
We all send
our best regards to Ari Brandwein. Okay. Davar Chashev Oser Bemino BeKol Shehu. We learned so far two examples of a Davar Chashev that's not batel even in a million. One was a birya, and one was Chaticha Ru'uya Leskavi. Now we're learning, this is the Mefurish Mishnah in Arla, the Rishonim explain, Chaticha Ru'uya Leskavi, that's talking about animal products. What about vegetable products? So, the Mishnah in Arla teaches us that there are vegetable products also that are so chashuv that they're not batel. And what are they is a big machlokes, Tanoim and Amoraim. Right? What is a davar chashuv that's not batel? So the Chachamim say, right, six things. Only six things are so chashuv that they're not batel. And all Rabbi Akiva does is, he's fundamentally with them, he just says seven things. He adds one. However, Rabbi Meir says, fundamentally expands it. Says Rabbi Meir, he says, no, it's anything that's darko limnos. This is something that's called davar shebe minyan. Anything that's chashuv enough to count it is not batel. Right? Chashuv enough to count it, meaning like when you sell it, you count each one and charge by the unit, because it's something very chashuv. Now, what does he mean by something that's counted? After all, there are things that are always counted, things that are never counted, and things that are sometimes counted. So here we have a machlokes of Yochanan Reish Lakish, how to interpret Rabbi Meir. According to 95% of Rishonim, they're within Rabbi Meir. We're going to stick with that for now. Within Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yochanan says, Es Shedarko Limnos. And Reish Lakish says, Kol Shedarko Limnos. They're arguing on Shaninu, right? Rabbi Yochanan says, Es Shedarko Limnos Shaninu. And Reish Lakish says, Kol Shedarko Limnos Shaninu. Meaning, what's the right gerson in the Mishnah? Rabbi Yochanan says the right gerson words is Es Shedarko Limnos. Reish Lakish says the right gerson is Kol Shedarko Limnos. Because you can understand that that kind of gerson confusion could have crept in. What's the right gerson of Meir's words? Because they're so similar, and especially if someone was memorizing the Mishnah and was not being Ma'ayin, wouldn't even realize it was a big deal. What's the big deal difference? What's the difference between Es Shedarko and Kol Shedarko?
Sometimes.
Exactly. Es Shedarko Limno means something that's always counted. As opposed to Kol Shedarko Limno means something that is sometimes counted. So you see this board is going from Kula to Chumra, right? The Chachamim and Rehiva are pretty makel, only six, seven things. Rabbi Meir is more machmir. Rabbi Yochanan's version of Rabbi Meir is a little machmir. Anything you always count is so chashuv, it's not batel. Reish Lakish goes even further. Even something you sometimes count is chashuv and not batel. Now, before we get into the applications, let's just see how we paskin. Let's go to the Mechaber. Davar chashuv aser b'mino b'kol shehu. Here we have a big machlokas about whether that mino is davka or not. The shach says it's lav davka, it's bein b'mino, bein shelo b'mino. The gra here, if you just look at the beginning, calls it loshon rama mashma davka b'mino, says davka b'mino. Again, it's very uncommon that it would be a case of getting mixed up shelo b'mino, so this is unlikely to ever come up, but we do have machlok zachronim, whether to take the mechaber davka or not. The Shach says Lav Davka, and the Gros says Davka. So Davar Chashuv Aser B'mino Kol Shehu, V'Heim Sheva Dvarim, only seven things, meaning the Mechaber Paskins like Rabbi Akiva. Mechaber Paskins like Rabbi Akiva. What are these seven things? Now, there's some machlokas among the Rishonim, which the Shach quotes some of them, as to exactly how to interpret these seven things. We're not going to get into it, but these seven things are Gozei Perech, certain types of special nuts, v'rimone baden, and certain types of special pomegranates, v'chaviot stumot, and closed barrels of wine, v'chilfo trudin, and these big stalks of Hered is, I think, in Lashon Chazal. Nowadays, it's spinach. I think Lashon Chazal is some sort of beet. Beets and spinach are actually very closely related. Vekilche Kruv, and these big stalks of cabbage, Uvlat Yevonit, and some sort of Greek gourd. Vekikro Shabal Abayis, those are the six things. And the seventh thing, Rabbi Akiva, is homemade chalas. Homemade chalas are more chashuv than store-bought chalas. Vekain, so that's Darush Minyan. And then he adds something else from a different Gemara. Right? This is from the Gemara, that's from a Mishnah Orla, which is quoted many times in Shas. This is from the Gemara in Zvach. Mechein bali chayim chashuv mehimein imetelen. And likewise, live animals are chashuv and are not batel. Avol shar dvarim, afi shidark, and the monos are a little bishurin. But other things, even if you count them, he passes these against for him there, they are batel, olu means batel, in whatever the proper shear is, whether it's Orla or Truma or regular trade foods in 60. So in the end, there is a list of four things that are not batel, because they're chashivas, right? Birya, chaticha, real iskaved, davar, chashuv, or davar shebeminyan, depending on which tana you hold like, and balei chayim. The mefarshim explained, it should be obvious. Why do we need to say that balei chayim are not batel? Isn't every live animal a birya? So why do we need to rule that balei chayim are not batel? Shouldn't it be covered by birya? Could be, although if it the easier one though is, because remember we said birya was only if it was neser mechilos b'yaso, if it was usher from when it was born. Bali chayim, the case of zvachim, is things like shor niskal. Only when it was already 4 years old it killed someone, it was usher. So even though it wasn't usher when it was intrinsically born, so it's not a birya, as long as it's alive, then it would still not be batel, because live animals are not batel. That's what the Shach says here. Afagab losir mitchilas b'yasan. That's the main nafkamina of live animals. Okay, that is the mechaber. Says the... there's also a little dion here, although this dion is only according to Sfardim. In the Shach, has a discussion here. What about open barrels? Okay, well, fairly clear. Closed barrels and not open barrels. Not only that, the Shach might say only big closed barrels. So only big closed barrels are chashuv according to the Mechaber. The Shach brings a bit of a machlokes here. What about by Avodah Zarah? Maybe Avodah Zarah is more macher, like Yayin Nesech, and even if it's big and open, or small and closed. So that's a big machlokas achronim, the Shach, Sivkatan. Whether we should be more machr by Yayin Nesech, the Chumr Avodah Zarah, the Shach thinks that we're makel even by Yayin Nesech, and most achronim agree with him, that even by Yayin Nesech, only big closed barrels are chashuv according to the Mechaber. Okay. That's all according to the Mechaber. How about us Ashkenazim? The Yesha Omer, the Choldav Shebe Minya, Nayin Yesha Darko Limnos Tamid, Eino Bato, V'cheinogin. Right, Yesha Omer, that Eino Dav Shebe Minyan is not Bato, V'cheinogin. Does the Rama Paskin Esh Shedarko or Kol Shedarko? He's clearly Paskin Esh Shedarko Limnos Tamid. Right? Tamid means only if you always count it out, it's not Bato. But if you sometimes count, sometimes don't, then it is batel. however, that's the opinion of probably most of the Ashkenazic Rishonim. However, there's a significant minority of Ashkenazic Rishonim, starting from the Sefer Truma and going through the Yetzer V'Heter, who pass like Rish Lakish. It's a little funny. We never pass like Rish Lakish, but if you look, there's a long brach here who points out that there are some Stam Gemaras which seem to hold like Rish Lakish, so maybe we should pass like Rish Lakish. L'mai said the Ma'ar Shal paskind here. The Ma'ar Shal paskind here like Rish Lakish. And the Taz says here, first of all, the Shach quotes the Marshal. Marshal be isur v'heter shelo kasev nogin l'chumra k'sefer truma and others, etc. And seemingly approvingly, and the Taz quotes here also. He quotes that chen kasev Marshal And in Yalach, given the Bilsa Rabban, Nikadai, given the Matur, Lismo, Galema, Makum, Hefzid. So Lemaisa, what do we say? We have Machaber versus Ramah versus Maharshal in terms of how to paskin. Tal Machner to be here. The Shah quotes the Maharshal and seems to endorse him. The Taz also quotes the Maharshal and endorses him if there's no Hefzid. However, the Makom Hefzid, he says we can rely on the Ramah. Now this is a big nafkamina. Why is this a big nafkamina? Let's just look at some examples. What are things that are, for example, let me take some non-controversial examples. What are things that are always sold b'minyan? Oh, great example nowadays is, what about kikaro shel machto? What about bakery chalas? According to the Mechaber, bakery challahs are batel. If you would have one, I don't know how likely it is to have one treif bakery challah. Let's say you would, then it's batel because it's not as chashuv as homemade challahs. But they charge you by the unit, right? When it comes to bakery challahs, you order a certain number and they pay, and you pay for that number. So therefore, they count out the bakery challahs. Therefore, according to the Ramah, they would not be batel. But according to the Maharshal, you get very, very Maher. Let's take a great example. How about apples? Do you count out apples when you pay for them?
You never pay for the ounce.
Right? So here, okay, let's get into some... counting as opposed to what?
A basket.
So Rashi says, counting as opposed to estimating. If you count each one, that's dark with limnos. If you just estimate, you throw in, then it's not dark with limnos. What about nowadays, and even in those days, when you measure? You don't count units, you measure. You pay by, if I go to buy cucumbers, I pay exactly per kilogram, right? So is that considered a double shaminion or not?
It should be more minion. You're the opposite.
So on the one hand, I'm paying for every gram. On the other, each cucumber is not important, right? It doesn't matter if there's 12 cucumbers or 11 cucumbers. It just matters how much it weighs. So you can see it going both ways. Lemaisa, the Yad Yehuda here says, he says that if you pay for something by weight, then that's not Dabar Shiva Minyan. Cucumbers are not Dabar Shiva Minyan because you're not matching every cucumber. You just weigh them. You could have said anytime you're exact, that's Dabar Shiva Minyan. But he says that if you're selling by weight, that's not a double shiva minyan.
But you pay for a pomelo by weight also, and it is very chashuv.
You pay for chicken by weight, it's clearly more chashuv than the challah, but it's not darshan minyan.
Well, but it's chatzir rilis gavid.
Okay.
But it's a good question. It's not pashut. The Bavli Shulchan brings down a machlokas about this. But we assume if you pay for something by weight, that doesn't automatically make it a double shiva minyan. The question is, here's a great example. What about apples? Do you pay for each apple? Do you count apples?
Depends where you're shopping.
No, so generally, in the supermarket, in the Makolet, of course you don't pay for each apple. That's ridiculous. You just weigh the apples. But what about in a kiosk or a bodega across the street from YU? I'm pretty sure they sell apples there, even though I don't know how many YU students buy apples. It's a little too healthy for us. But I'm pretty sure they say apples, tell apples in that little bodega across the street from YU. Again, this is all circa 15 years ago, for all I know. For all I know, they tore down the bodega and, I don't know, built a, bagel store and stuff.
Now it's the bodega across the street from the base, Medrash, inside YU's, whatever. They have a little, Nagel's Bagels.
That's true. But I didn't check out all this. I meant across from the old base Medrash. Like the Spanish bodega. Anyway.
Inside the basement.
Okay, Nagel's Bagels.
Yes.
Do they sell fruit there? I have no idea.
Yes.
Okay, great. Do they charge you a certain amount per apple?
Yes.
How much?
I don't know. Too much. I didn't buy apples either.
Right. I have no idea. They probably charge you $1 per apple, let's say. So each apple is $1. You want 3 apples, you pay $3. You want 4 apples, you pay $4. So l'chora, maybe that makes apples Dabar Shiva Minyan according to Reish Lakish. According to Reish Lakish, anything that's sold, or even you have lollipops. Normally, I go to the supermarket, And I buy a big bag of lollipops. And you know what? They don't count. It doesn't say how many lollipops I'm getting. It's just like approximately a kilo of lollipops or whatever. Like, the lollipops are not counted in the supermarket. But you go to like a candy store, and they sell the kid eats lollipop for half a shekel. Right? And it's very, very costly. The kid's cheshbon. How many lollipops I can afford with the, you know, change in my pocket, and they put together 10 agarot coins to get a lollipop. Right? So, is a lollipop Dover Shiva Minyan? Or is it not Dover Shiva Minyan? So, according to, yeah?
Just to clarify, the regulation is something that's ever counted, not like normally counted, but also it often isn't. Like, kosher dark gold windows means that if it's like,
sometimes
there's somebody that you can find that you count, even though there's like, we don't go off of like a norm.
No, I don't mean crazy people, but I mean there's a type of store that counts it. Right? I mean, I'm not talking about crazy people.
Right. Now, but like still, like if you thought of like people that buy, like, I don't know, lollipops, people really often buy a single lollipop. Like a
kids do in the candy store, sure, all the time.
They go to every fruit you're going to find a place that...
Probably.
Not crazy people.
And a lot of candies also, right? And then that's a big hummer, and that's called a Dover Shiva Minyan, according to that.
Right.
Even though it doesn't seem terribly kashuv to us.
Right.
Right? That's a big hummer of Reish Lakish that all of a sudden is called a Dover Shiva Minyan. Okay, this is a big chumrah, according to Reish Lakish, meaning according to the Marashal and the Shach and the Taz, then a lot of things, that's why whenever I use the example of how you can actually bit the rov yavish v'yavish, I always say meatballs, because like no one ever counts meatballs. It's actually hard to find a glot case where like yavish v'yavish 1 and 2 is really butto, because by the time we pass like Reish Lakish, a lot of things are going to be a Dover Shiva Minyan, and it's really not going to be so pashut. And this gets into an even trickier one. for example, the whole deal here about eggs, right? Are eggs a Dover Shiva Minyan? Are eggs not a Dover Shiva Minyan? Right, they referenced earlier, you had a question whether eggs are a birya. Are eggs a Dover Shiva Minyan or eggs not a Dover Shiva Minyan? Part of the machlokas was, well, they sometimes count eggs, sometimes not, so it depends, and hold like Marshal, Rama, and then therefore to say the end. But the truth is, nowadays, they always count the eggs. Like, you ever go someplace where they don't count the eggs? No, they sell them by the dozen eggs. Right? Every place we go, they count the eggs. So, Pashta's eggs nowadays is a Dover Shiva Minyan, even according to the Ramah.
We consider the eggs in a carton, which you can buy now. Like, that's sold by weight, not by number of eggs.
What are you talking about?
Like, liquid egg. Which is they take eggs,
liquid eggs are different from solid eggs. Solid eggs is Dover Shiva Minyan. We'll come back to that in a second. Solid eggs is Dover Shiva Minyan. Clearly, you buy by the number, right? No one ever sells you eggs except by counting how many eggs they're selling you. And they put it in boxes for convenience, right? But there's no box that says approximately 1 kilogram of eggs. The box says exactly you're getting 12 eggs, you're getting 18 eggs, you're getting 30 eggs. Etc. etc. I was over Pesach, they should just make it easier and like wrap up packages of 300. So eggs is a Dover Shiva Minyan even according to Rama. Even in Osherad, they don't go that far. They have 60s for Pesach. Now,
who is it that said, sorry, the weight is not Dover Shiva Minyan?
Yad Yehuda. Okay, let's just see how we paskin. Lemaisa, some of the later achronim are step back a little from this Reish Lakish psak. They think it's a little too radical to paskin like Reish Lakish against Rabbi Yochanan. And therefore, the Chachmas Adam seems to be make a like Ramah, and the Arch HaShochan leans very much towards being make a like Ramah. He's not very impressed with Marshal and Shach and the Taz. Says, yeah, even if you have a small hefsid, you can rely on Ramah. Even though the Taz, many achronim assume it's a big hefsid, you know, what kind of hefsid? L'maisa nir l'ani yazdaiti, that... that we can pass them like the Aruch HaShulchan, even a Hefzid Muat, even if it's a small Hefzid, you can rely on Ramah. We're not going to rely on the Machaber, we're still Ashkenazi. We're not going to say only 6 or 7 things. But we can rely on Ramah, but Makom Hefzid, even a Hefzid Muat means not like a dollar. Hefzid Muat means like a Hefzid. It's a Hefzid, it's not a big deal. You know, a Hefzid Maruba is, I mean, for regular people like us, you know, a hefzid merubah is like $100. Yeah, hefzid muad is the muad is like 100 shekel. Okay, that's a hefzid. It's not the change that you spend at Starbucks, but it's not a big deal. It's not really going to hurt your budget. Okay, even for Hefsen Mu'at, Nira, you can rely on the Arach HaShulchan, and maybe that's what the Taz meant, it's not clear. The Prima Gunnum says he meant Merubah, and we make a likely Ramah. One very big issue, which the Yad Yehuda also discusses, that's very relevant to modern-day supermarkets. What about packages of things? What about a can of corn? Right? They count the cans of corn, right? You scan each one, or even if you buy eight, the cashier types in eight, right? On the one hand, the corn is not very chashuv. No one's counting like grains of niblet corn. That would be very problematic. On the other hand, in the can, it's clearly counted. Now, we know that the package makes a difference for the machaber, right? Chavios stumos is chashuv, while open, closed barrels are chashuv, open barrels are not. Question is, what about us Ramanics? What about us Ashkenazim? Does the fact that it's in a can make it into Dover Sheva Minyan or not? The packages are very chashuv to be counted, right? The supermarkets are all programmed with a scanner that reads each package and knows how much it's worth and counts it. We always mock it to count the packages. On the other hand, maybe you can ignore the packages. Look what's inside the packages. That's not worth counting. So how do you look at it? Do you say it's worth counting in this package, as long as it's a closed package? Or do you say, no, it's not worth counting, so what's inside the package is just corn. Or, bottles, bottles of Coke. Clearly you don't count Coke. But on the other hand, you count bottles of Coke, right? You go to the store and you buy six bottles of Coke, and they charge you for six bottles of Coke. So what about packaged goods? That's a big nafkamina for everything in our supermarkets nowadays, which means, let's say, nafkamina for factories. If the factory has a mess up, right, and they're producing 1,000 cans that day, and accidentally one of them is treif, I'm more likely to be like 100 of them. Is it buckle in the other cans? Right? If it doesn't have any countable things inside. I don't think any cans have countable things inside. Or do you say, no, a can is chashuv, it's a davar sheva minyan. You charge by the can. And therefore, you have to throw out all 1,000 cans. Or at least, put on a new label, take off the label and something on you or something. So that is not clear. The Yad Yehuda here likewise writes that if it's in a package and that package is counted by every supermarket, then that's called a davar sheva minyan, which means that any package, unopened package goods from the supermarket is called a davar sheva minyan. I assume once you open the package, that's a different story. Now already, no one counts it once you open the package. No one counts open packages. But when you have a closed package in the supermarket or from the supermarket, that's called a davar sheva minyan. Again, it's not such an afkamina at home. If you have a closed package, you could look at the kashrus on the label. But it's an afkamina more in industrial kashrus. There can be a big afkamina. You just realize a mess up, and on the trucks is 1,000 cans on their way to a supermarket. Do you have to call the truck back and destroy the produce? Or can you say the one treif can is buckle in the 999 kosher cans? I've never worked in industrial kashrus. I don't know how often that happens or what they do, but lemaisa, the idea says, And I think this is the accepted psak. This is certainly how Rabbi Willig said he would paskin, that a canned good is, or package, any type of package, is a davar sheva minyan. So even like bags of milk, everyone knows you count the bags of milk. No one approximates the bags of milk. Each bag of milk is worth a certain amount of money. No one says, okay, let me give you a sack full of bags of milk, and I think a sack of bags of milk is worth about 500 shekel. No, you count each bag. In which case, a bag of milk is a davar sheva minyan, is not going to be bottled, and that could have, that could have nafkaminas, again, not usually in our home, because we just look at the kashrus on the package, but in industrial kashrus, that could certainly have a nafkamina. So, halacha lemaisa, if we can, we'd be makra like Reish Lakish, kol shadar kolimnos, which would mean many things are chashuv and not bottled. If there's a hefsed, we'll be makra like the Ramah, and we'll say if it's all be sold by the unit, it's not bottle. However, anything in a closed package is always sold by the unit. And therefore, it wouldn't be bottle. So, lemaisa, we say anything sold by weight we would say is not Davar Sheva Minyan, but anything sold by the package, we would say is a Davar Sheva Minyan. Now, I know you could tell you otherwise. You could say that...
Yes, and when you have to do it on our page.
Oh, sorry, I said it was in the base Medrash, not on the page. I could tell you exactly where it is in the base Medrash. It was like you walk in, you go this way, and then there's like corner bookshelves that go around the corner. You go past one window, and then there's three bookshelves, and you go to the middle one, second to bottom shelf, and it's like tall blue with like red where the title is, four volumes in a row called Yaduma.
Is he recent?
More recent, yes. okay, that is, so this is a big, big naftamina. Whenever you want to say Bithel Barov and Yavesh V'Yavesh, you really have to ask yourself two questions. A little bit, is it a birya or a bal chaya, which is, you know, less common except for bugs, and live animals don't usually happen that much. But the main question is it a chatzil rilis kaved, or is it a davar sheva minyan? And if it's one of those things, then it's not batel even be'elef. Okay.
Then there's also still the whole thing that throughout whether things are chashev, just other relic nowadays. The lechavah is interesting, just seven things.
Ah, okay, correct. But lemaisa, a can of corn is probably not as chashev as these things the lechavah mentions. Probably. Go figure.
How would you quantify the...
I know, these things seem to be very special. A can of corn is not viewed as very special nowadays. A can of corn is not considered high class, is not considered fancy. You don't get excited about it. Probably most things in a can are not terribly exciting.
Judaism, the second half of the Shulchan Aruch, like where he's going through Rambam through and through, not just the Kula, but even the Kumra. So that's really that.
Yeah, it would have to be chashuv things. Now again, I don't know where to draw the line. I don't know where to draw the line, but definitely not a can of niblet corn.
And fruit might come up more.
There are chashuv fruits, right? I mean, there are fancy fruits, right? I don't know what they are. An apple is not a fancy fruit. But there are fancy luxury fruits, I guess, that I can't afford to eat. I don't know. What are they?
Do you think home-baked bread is like such a special delicacy in those
days? Home-baked bread is very kosher. People are impressed. You go to someone's house and you say, oh, do you buy the challah? Do you bake the challah? And if the balabasta bake the challah, then people are impressed, no?
I guess.
Yeah, more than a can of niblet corn.
I would say... Yeah, okay, it's more chashuv now than it was then.
Apparently, it's chashuv then also.
Right.
Meaning, one thing is clear: home baked was more chashuv than bakery. Right? That's the Mefurash Mishnah. Right. Okay, you can do whatever you want with that. That's the Mefurash Mishnah. Okay. Anyway, especially you know, my wife's challah is very, very chashuv. You should taste it. okay. Continues the Ramah. excuse me. Continues the Ramah. We know all this davar chashuv, even though there does seem to be one. I thought it was on the side here someplace. All right, let me show you. The din of davar chashuv, all four types of chashuv things that aren't batel, is only your rabbanan. Therefore, if you're mesupik whether or not it's chashuv, you can be makel. We know already, it says here in the Shach Yod, if you're mesupik whether or not it's treif, you can't be makel. Right? We've seen that many times. If you're mesupik whether or not it's chashuv, you can be makel. Then the Mechaber continues. This is in the Mechaber Shita, which Rosh Ashkenazim is not so relevant. Says,
called, can we use some of the. We had these Macholkis acronym about what had to be makel. So why aren't we makel this
or not? Okay, because sometimes you have achra on a machlokas. You can be not every machlokas in the Rabbanon are we makel, right? Sometimes there's achra.
That was why basically was makel like the Kiva, right? Wasn't it because that's only Rabbanon?
Correct, but we Ashkenazim are not, right? Why aren't we makel like Rabbi Kiva against Rabbi Meir? Or why aren't we makel like Rabbi Yochanan against Rish Lakish? Okay, because that's only when there's no achra. And the Mechaber called Davar Sheva Chashuv to the Makom and Makomos Kiyonei Ozer Perach Bivonei Badim Eretz Shalva Osam Asvanim Who Ozer Bekolshu. Anything as Chashuv in your society as these things were in their society is Ozer Bekolshu Lefi Chashivus of Osam Makom Osam Asman Lahus Korei Lefidzim Ozer Bekolshu Mechol Makom Vadim Mechol Kiyotu Mishar Makomos. Right? He says anything that's as Chashuv for you as those things is not Batel. He says why are these things mentioned? Because they're Chashuv everywhere. It's interesting. I would have just said because they were chashev in their case, but he seems to assume they're chashev everywhere. So if you ever encounter a building parak and mimone badin, then even nowadays they wouldn't be bottle. Because
even going to the Ramah.
That is a fascinating question.
What's Rimone Baden?
They say it's from a place called Baden, where they had very fancy Rimone. I don't know, you know. Again, I just buy whatever Rimonim are in Rami Levi or Osherat, right? So I assume those are not Rimone Baden. But Rimone Baden, I assume you go to a luxury food store, and maybe they have Rimone. I don't know, ask them if they have Rimone from Baden. I don't know where Baden is. But you know, there are things like this, like fancy people. They shop at these luxury stores where they have everything like from a special place where it's like the, you know, the most spitz fancy in the world, and I assume they're not wasting their money. I assume it is better than the regular ones in Rami Levi, if you can afford it. But I assume that our regular Rimonim are not that.
I was at the fruit store the other day and I picked up a melon. The worker said, "Oh no, you need to get this one. It's organic. It's special."
Okay, yeah, without getting into the merits of organic. Okay, the continuing in the Shulchan Aruch says,
"Is there an answer to the question on the Ramah?"
Would the Ramah also say, "Let's say you had Kilchei Kruv"? Would the Ramah also say that nowadays that's not batal, even if? Doesn't seem to be so chashev to us nowadays. Like, we don't really think it's a big deal. People don't think kruv is any better than anything else, right? So would the Ramah also be machmer on that? And that's a good question.
You're saying he definitely agrees to the principle?
No, well, I don't know. That's the question.
The principle that...
Does he hold the chacham also, or does he...
Or does he hold like the Beis Yosef's interpretation of the Chachamim, which is not the Beis Yosef, it's the Rambam, which is that these things are usur b'chol makom. All right, Sarachian, I'm not sure. You know, my Natiya would be that would be a little weird. Sarachian, not sure.
I'm asking, does the Ramah definitely agree that something that's Chashav in our place and our time? That would be awesome. That would not be awesome.
Yeah, but I think all those things would be sold by Minyan, probably. Right. Although, I don't know, maybe, you know. That's in general, whether I'm not agree something that you knew was very chashev, is not bottle, regardless of whether it's sold by Minyan or not. If you knew it was super chashev. Lachori, yes, because he says we're more machmir than the Mechaber, Lachor, we wouldn't be more makel than the Mechaber. But Lamaisa, the Ashkenaz opposed him, seemed to assume you go with Dover Shabaminian. Okay, but I'll be minding that more. Beis, Bali Chaim Shesar Bachir Minishkatu. If live animals got mixed with, treif live animals got mixed with kosher live animals, and they were shechted, Batal Chashimusa, now they're not Chashim anymore. Ubetay Lemon, now they're Batal, because now they're not alive anymore. Of course, that's only if it's b'shogeg. If it would have been mazed, then that would be bitlus of achil b'mazed, and there would be a knas, and it would be usur for the owner and the one who was done for. Sorry, for the one who did it and the one who it was done for. Now the Ramah has a kasha. The kasha is, hold on a second. After you shecht an animal, it's still a chatichu rilis kabed. Right? It's still a chatichu rilis kabed. So why isn't it usher to the chatir l'skabin? The answer is davka v'lechaim ketanim she'en ruin l'skabin l'chshut al-san. This would cool, it would only apply to very small animals, which are not ruin l'skabin. After you shech them, maybe there are like very small pigeons or something that are not ruin l'skabin after you shech them. You know, they're only good for chop meat or shawarma or something. Or for, you know, a cheap meal. And that's the case when you would have this kula. All the achronim here are bothered by this Ramah. They said, why didn't he give a much better answer? Why didn't he just say, it's not realist tabed? Right, here's basically the question, which is, says the Ramah question is, isn't a shkuta Chaticha Haruya Liskabed? And the Ramah's answer is that you make an okimta that it was a very small shluta. Right? I think a bird is probably easier. They all the Achrim say, could we get a better answer? What's the better answer? You know why it's not really skavig? Because it's b'chosher tikkun, and even Ashkenazim admit, if it's b'chosher tikkun gadol, it still has the skin, and the feathers, and the hide. If it's a bird, it still has the feathers, and right, because the skin is edible, and if it's an animal, it still has the hide. So why not just say that it still has the hide or the feathers? That's the kasha everyone has in this Ramah. They say this Ramah doesn't make any sense. After all, he had a much better way of solving his he had a much better way of solving this problem.
Why is it better?
Because you don't make no kinta.
Is it also no kinta that works?
No, every shechted animal still has feathers and hide.
Assuming it was just shechted.
If that's all he said is it was shechted, right? He said nishkutu.
Right,
right.
I guess so.
So the there's a few difficult answers to this. So why didn't he say this better answer? The Gros says he could have said this better answer. He was just saying, according to those Rishonim, it would be Machmir when it still has the feathers and the hide. He wasn't saying according to himself. And the Shach says, well, he's talking about a case where even after you shech, even though it wasn't Katikulis Kabe, it's still a Dervish of a Minyan. Big animals are usually Dervish of a Minyan after you shech it. After all, if you want to buy them, they count how many there are. And the crazy place, he says, because the intestines don't have hide on them. Once you shecht it, you can just slice it open and take out the intestines that don't have hide on them, assuming you're in a country where the intestines are very chashuv. So it's not so clear why the Rama didn't say it. Right, this is still a mystery. Why didn't the Rama give this answer? Says the Shach, maybe because he thought big animals are Dervish of a Minyan. But then he has to say, maybe because he thought big animals are Dervish of a Minyan. Says the Gra, that he could have said this, but he wanted to give an answer that worked for all Rishonim. And says the Kreshi Plesi, he says, the me'ayim einam tzrichim tikkun gadol. He says, after all, the intestines don't have feathers and hide on them. So the Rambam was worried the intestines would be chatichu rilis kaved if it was a big animal. It's a little funny because in a lot of places, intestines aren't really so chashuv anyway. Okay, but this is a big mystery why the Rama didn't give the very, very obvious answer. And there are a whole bunch of theories about this. Lamaisa, the Prima Gadol leaves this crazy place is Chiddush Safek. It's not so clear that we do not like this crazy place. You might say the whole animal still leaves Tikkun Gadol. Lamaisa, it would seem to be that we would probably say like the Gra, that really this second answer would have worked. The Shach earlier seems to lean that way also, and that really he could have just answered it, even if it's a big animal, it's still mutter. Because it's Mechoshev Tikkun Gadol, it's not a Chatech or Yilis Kabit. Okay, so much for Deborah Chashev. Questions?
Are you asking like the tazzles of rings, like one more on the idea of intestines, so that that like fundamentally, like even if people on your side are crazy and they like these things, like fundamentally they're considered lowly because like...
No, we possibly depend on your society. Nothing fundamental about it. Okay, now we get to one of the most intriguing dina in Hilchos Harubos, famous Teisha Chanugos. Teisha Chanugos mochot b'chor shkuta v'achas mocheres b'sarei beila. There are 10 stores. 9 are kosher and 1 is treif. Lakach mechzim in yudum ezim lakach. You buy from one and you don't pay attention which one you buy from. You're a wolf bench. You don't really pay attention to your surroundings or you're some naive olechadash. Any that has Hebrew writing on it is kosher. So you go to the butcher store, you buy a piece of meat, you come home, and your Israeli friend tells you, oh, where'd you buy it? Says, I bought a butcher shop. Is it kosher? He says, oh, everything's kosher. It's Israel. says, no, not everything in Israel is kosher. Only 9 of the butcher stores in our town are kosher. One of them's Treif. Which one did you buy it from? Says, I don't know. I got lost on the way there. I got lost on the way back. I barely found my way home. I don't know my way around town yet. So you don't know which store you bought it from. So what are the odds that it's kosher? Clearly?
Mathematically.
90%. What are the odds that it's kosher halachically? 50-50, right? Harizah Asr. Shekol kavua kemechza al mechza dami. It is Asr because it's kavua. The stores are fixed. And therefore, anything that's kavua is kemechza al mechza dami. Avol bazar into the shuk. But, here's the funny thing, right? That same exact town, same exact butcher stores, and you find a piece of meat on the street, just in regular, you know, saran wrapping without any tags on it, or you find it in the hands of a goy. What are the odds, again, mathematically, this piece of meat is kosher? Same 90%. But in this case, mutter. In this case, the meat is mutter. Most of the 90% of the stores sell kosher. They call the parish ruva parish. Once it separates from the kvios, the stores are kvios. But over here, you didn't go to the stores. You found meat on the street that already separated. Once it separates, the rule is it comes from the ruv. Okay, that's the difference between kavua and parish. If you go to the kvios, kavua is kemetzal mechzatami. If you find something that was parish, then call the parish ruva parish. Zeldin, Torah, Al-Chacham, Masrura, Afnish, Kol Shokhtun, Kol Mokrin, Yisrael. This is Midoraisa. But Midorabanan, it's Aser. There's a rule called, what's this rule called? Basar Shinasalim and Ayin. Any meat that was not in your in your vision, that you took your eyes off. That's the whole simon of your desim and some gimel, short simon, deals with. Midorabanan, I mean a special rule for meat. That any meat that you took your eyes off is treif. Halach lemaisa, the shach already. The Rambam says ayin leel siman samach gimel. The Rambam says look at siman samach gimel, meaning there's a fundamental machlokes we've shown about this, which probably goes down to machlokes Amoraim, Rav, and Levi, and machlokes in the Ashkenazim we've shown, the Sephardim we've shown, and the machlokes Machaber and Rambam. This is one of the cases in your day where Sephardim are more machmer. Sephardim are very machmer in Basar Shinasalim and ayin. Anytime you took your eyes off your meat and you don't recognize that this is exactly for sure your piece of meat, it's treif. For Sephardim, if I leave a hot dog on the grill and I, you know, go, you know, call my kids to come eat and I come back to the grill, find a hot dog on it, but I don't know if it's the same hot dog or not, I just assume it is because why would anyone have switched it? For Sephardim, that's treif. That's Basar Shinasalim and Ayin. Anytime you take your eyes off your meat, it is treif.
You didn't come out of home, other than your family.
Oh, let's say I'm in the park. Right? Let's say I'm in the park.
Or for Israelis, any day.
Just a healing of the Rishus any day. But it's Rishus the Mitzvah. For Ashkenazim are not so machmer on this, right? Ashkenazim hold that as long as it wasn't, you know, among goyim, and Ashkenazim hold that as long as it wasn't as long as it wasn't in like a goyish town, right? As long as it's a Jewish town or it's a town where most of the meat is kosher, like Israel. You know, you find your meat where you left it, and you have no reason to think anyone switched, then we're not so machmir about this. And Ashkenazim would hold that as long as it's a Jewish town, where 90% of the stores, or even 51% of the stores, were kosher, even if you find in the hands of a guy, you could be makel. So Ashkenazim are very, very makel, and assume that there is only, or the only scenarios where we machmir, Basar Shalom and Ayin, would be, you know, where there's really a strong reason to suspect, either because I left my meat unintended in a place where all the goyim were around, and it was a goyish town, and so, like, it's really, probably someone didn't switch, but they might have, because it was all goyim there, and it was all treif food in the town, or in a case where I lose my meat and I find it, not where I left it,
In which case you understand that, you know, you really, and I don't know that it's the same meat. You know, then you understand that, okay, you might say, well, I lost a piece of meat, I found a piece of meat. It's called Shema, okay, Ashkenaz. In that case, even Ashkenazim are machers. So if you lose a piece of meat and you find a piece of meat, then even Ashkenazim say, Basar Shesalim and Ayin, this is Asr if it's a Goyish town. Or if you leave your meat among Goyim in a Goyish town, Ashkenazim would be machir. Because after all, most of the meat is treif, and you either lost your meat or left it with Goyim. But in a normal case, let's say you're in Israel, where most of the meat is kosher, or you were in America, but you left your meat unintended among Jews or among nobody, and you found it where you left it, then Ashkenazim would be Mekel. So Ashkenazim are feeling Mekel, Ayin, Simon, Samach, Gimel.
Is it Dafka with meat because that's the only thing that's really, you can really get treif?
I mean, everything can really be treif. After all, there's Arla and Klaya Kerem and Tevel and lots of other things. But they dafka me this gzeira on meat, I think, because meat is something that's very commonly treif. And also maybe which is, you know, people might be more likely to steal or animals might be more likely to steal, etc. Okay, so that is the din of Kavua and Parish. This Hilgi Kavua and Parish, again, one should not try to find a scientific, statistical explanation for it. Right? This is not a mathematical, scientific difference. We all know the odds are 90% that it's kosher either way. There's no way that there's any practical difference. This is not a practical difference. This is a formal halachic difference. Halachically, there's a difference in Kavua and Parish. Mehefi Tesi, how do we know that? Right? This is a chiddush that we only know because it's darshan from a pasuk. Right? Chazal would not have figured this out on their own, but it's darshan from the pasuk, right? What's the pasuk say? Va'arav lo v'kama lov, v'yiko nefesh v'meis, etc. Talking about someone who's chayiv misa for ritzicha. Va'arav lo v'kama lov. So, why do you need va'arav lo v'kama lov? It's actually machlokas tana, we'll only mention shita we pasuk like, right? Va'arav lo, so you purposely killed someone. Why do you need va'arav lo v'kama lov? So the answer is, that only if you aimed at him specifically. Not if you just aimed at a crowd of people. But we pass that's not true. We pass that I try to kill Reuven and kill Shimon, I'm Chayim Misa. Or, did we pass him that way? Or at least, that is the sheet that the Gemara starts with here. So, the Gemara says, no, it's prat to someone who shoots into a crowd of 9 Yisraelim and 1 Kanani. So in that case, you might say 90% odds are chayiv, so you should be chayiv. Kamash v'lan, since they're kavua, a crowd of people standing in place, therefore it's kemetza al metza dami, it's considered 50-50, and therefore it's 50-50, so you're potter, because Bezdin will not convict someone if it's 50-50. That's the mucker. The mucker is that any time there's a bunch of kavua things, even if 90% of them have one identity, we consider it to be 50-50. And that's, we learn from there, too, cases of Tumah V'Tahara and Yisurin like this, that if you have 10 stores, even if 90% of them, or 100 stores and 99% of them, or 1,000 stores and 99.9% of them are kosher, nonetheless, if it's kavua, it's kemechza al mechza dani. Now, what's shot in this? I think one thing is very, very clear. You could take this in two ways. Why is Kavua Kamechza Mechza Dami? So I think it's popular to say in the yeshivas nowadays that it's just Xeris and custom and we don't understand the reason. It's a Xeris Kosev that it's Ilu 50-50. There are even a few acronym here and they want to use that from. Okay, it's a Hilchos of Lo Taima. You could say that, but I prefer not to, for reasons that we will mention in a second. So, what's the din that? Kol Kavua Kemechza Al Mechza Dummy. So you could say it's just a it's definitely Xeris Kosev. Definitely Xeris Akasav, right? Meaning, I wouldn't have said it on my own. But you could have said that there's no reason. It's just
Ilu 50-50. The odds are 90-10, but we pretend it's 50-50.
Okay, that's a little unsatisfying, because usually even if there's a kusav, it's supposed to fit into the conceptual framework of halachic logic, and other reasons as well. So the Rashba explains otherwise. The Rashba explains, actually, that it's a good svara. Again, I don't mean good svara mathematically, scientifically. I mean good svara formally, halachically. He says, in halacha we know, we've discussed this just last year a little, this comes up a lot, the answer to a question depends on how you ask the question. And I don't mean like you ask nicely or you ask not nicely or, you know, you cry and then the opposing feels bad for you. No, I mean how you halachically ask the question. There are halachas about what the question is, and the halachas about what the question is affect the halachas about what the answer is. What is the question about? I think this is the key. What's the difference between kavua and parsh? Very puzzled. Kavua versus parsh. About what is the question of parsh? About what is the question of parsh? About which chefza is the question of parsh? So in parish, the question is about the meat, right? The piece of meat. In kavua, what's the question about?
Story.
It's not about the piece of meat, but about the store. Okay, the piece of meat is not kavua. The store is kavua. Okay, so far this is purely pasha. What the Rashba says, and again I'm explaining a little more, he says it's actually more complicated than that. In parish, the question is about how many pieces of meat? How many pieces of meat do I think about?
One.
I found one piece of meat. I want to know what it is. Right? What rule do I use? I use the rule of Azlinan Basaruba, meaning follow the odds, which is another way of saying called the parish favorite of a parish. And following the odds is 90%, right? And that's how we get to the rule of called the parish Meiruba parish. I have one item. When I have one item, I follow the rule of the odds. Here, I think the Chiddush of the Rashba is this.
Right.
The Chiddush of the Rashba. Everything I said until now is pretty poshut, right? The piece of meat is pretty poshut. There's one piece of meat, we follow the odds. And clearly, kavua has to do with the store instead of the meat. I think the Chiddush of the Rashba is this. In parish, I shaila is about one piece of meat. Are there other pieces of meat in the world? Yes, but I don't have anything to do with them. In kavua, here maybe is the Gzeiras HaKasuv. You'd say, I'm asking a shaila about a store. Right? I want to know, is this store kosher or treif? Here's the chah. I want to know which store is kosher or treif. Which store am I asking if it's kosher or treif? In parish, you know which piece of meat I'm asking about? This piece of meat right here that I found and then put in my shop bag and took home and asked my rabbi. In kavua, which store am I asking about? Oh. The store on East 2nd Street? The store on East 4th Street? The store on East 6th Street? Which store?
Oh.
The answer is, I don't know which store I went to, right? That's the whole point. So I can't ask a shaila about a particular store, because I don't know which store to ask the shaila about. So I ask a shaila about all the stores. That's the chap of the Rashba. My shaila is about all the stores. It's not about one store, because I don't know which store to ask the shaila about. Again, this is the chiddush. This is the chiddush, all the stores, because I don't know which store to ask about. As a matter of fact, if you ask, what did I go to? The answer is, I went to a tarovis of stores. And here's the chap. Once I went to a tarovis of stores, then the shaila is really about, right, a taroves of chanuyos. And if so, we use the rule of bitl barov. We don't say the odds. What are the odds? I mean, that's the Gzeiras HaKasuv. Don't ask what are the odds the store you went to is kosher. Ask what is the status of the tarovas of stores. What is the status of the conglomerate of stores? Now it's very clear. The conglomerate of stores has both kosher and treif. So now we're using rules of tarovas, not rules of odds. We use rules of bitl barov. Once we use rules of bitl barov, so is one tarovas bottled to the other tarovas? Is one store bottled to the other nine stores? No, because a davar kavua can't be bottled. And keep in mind, we'll go by the mainstream approach here. A davar kavua is only not bottled, opens the Torah here, and says the Rashman, says Tosos, if it is, nikar bimkomo. Right, according to, I know this is a machlokas, but according to the mainstream approach, this is only a case where it's nikar bimkomo. Nikar bimkomo means it has a certain place, and in that place you can see if it's kosher or treif. Just this idiot didn't pay attention. Right? You know if it's kosher or treif. You just didn't pay attention. So can there be bittel if one store, nine stores, have a sign in the window that says Teudat Kashrut, you know, Moitza Datit Tel Aviv, or Yerushalayim. And the other store has a sign outside that says, we sell pork. Right? So, can you really say that, like, the whole Tarovas is kosher because nine of them are kosher? Obviously, something that's recognizably treif cannot be batel. So, we use rule of bittel barov, and obviously, the treif store is not bottle. So what do we have now? We have a tarovas without bittel. What's the din of a tarovas without bittel? Chesky, let's say you have a tarovas. There's two parts in it, and neither one is bottled to the other. So what's the status of that tarovas? It's a suffix. It has two identities, and neither one beats the other. If you had to give numbers to that status, what would you call it? You would say it's like 50-50. Because it's a tarovas of two elements, neither of which is batel. This is the chap of the Rashba. Now, you're not going to find it in this Lashon, but I think if you open up a Torah Sabayis, you will see exactly what I'm saying there. Therefore, A, and it is a tarovas without batel is like 50-50. We don't mean, this is the chap, we don't mean there's some zeres akasa that we pretend math is different. It's really 90-10, but we pretend it's 50-50 up zeres akasa. No, that's not what the Rashba is saying. The Rashba is saying it's not that we pretend it's 50-50 up zeres akasa. That would be a weird zeres akasa. This is a mechudish zeres akasa, but mechudish is not the same as weird. Or rather, I would say, an interesting zeres akasa. Right? It's that instead of looking at it from the perspective of what are the odds, we look at it from the perspective of how do we define the heftza of all the stores in town. And the answer is all the stores in town can't be called kosher because there's one treif. And you know it's treif. It can't be called treif because there's not kosher. So all the stores in town are called unresolved stores, are called both. All the stores in town are equally kosher and treif because it's the tarovas you can't resolve. And the tarovas that you can't resolve, we don't care what the rov is. And therefore, it's ke'ilu 50-50. It's not ke'ilu 50-50. That's the chav, because we pretend the odds changed. It's because instead of using odds, we use rules of tarovas. And any tarovas that's not resolved is ke'ilu 50-50. That's what the Rashba is saying. Now, I'll explain to you two reasons why this is advantageous, other than it sounds clever. Right? And the main chiddush is, right, according to this, the chiddush is to view as a tarovas and not odds of a particular store being kosher. Because you could have said, okay, so you have a shaila of the meat is kosher, read the story, and a shaila of the store is kosher. Anyway, it's 90-10. But it's not. It's that don't look at the odds as kosher. Look at the identity of the conglomerate of stores, of Tarovas Chanuyos. And the Tarovas Chanuyos is 50-50.
Why do we not extend this?
What?
Why do we not extend this from Gara and Lovakama?
Because we assume, what's the Svara there? The Svara there is we pretend the odds aren't 90-10. No, it's tarobas of people. Now tarobas of people is has no bittel.
We would
have no bittel. JS needs to show you the two dotsy hot.
Dotsy, and we did like we why didn't they? Why or doesn't they? Why didn't they? Why assume it? There's a concept by murder that you have to intend to kill your victim before you get killed.
Ah, okay.
And then like we extend this to
no, because the Gemara was a Liba de Rav Shimon who says that you don't have to intend your victim. That's not close enough. That's not close enough. And then we get the other Mandam are also on board as a secondary staff. Because of an extra Xeris Agassiv. Okay, now, why do I think this is the right Pshat and Kavua? Other than the fact that, you know, it sounds clever. Two things. Number one, as Tosos and the Rashi point out, and the Beis Yosef and Shach mentioned a few times, in Perek, okay, first of all, there's a Perek they often quote here. They say it's written in Perek HaTarovis. Right? Anyone know where to find a Perek in Shas that on top it says HaTarovis?
There is no such thing.
There's no Perek in Shas that says HaTarovis on top. But if you look in Zvachim, in the 8th Perek of Zvachim, which says Kol HaZvachim, Perek Shvini, Zvachim on top, but the 8th Perek of Zvachim starts Kol HaZvachim Shenis Arvu Bechatos HaMeso, So Meshor Niskol, etc. Tarovis of Kosher Karbonos and Pasul Karbonos. So that's nicknamed by the Rishonim and Achronim Perek HaTarovis. So first of all, if you ever find Perek HaTarovis, know that it's the eighth Perek of Zvachim, which is called Kol HaZvachim on top of the page. But a good summary would be, go to the third word, and it says Shinis Arvu Perek HaTarovis. In Perek HaTarovis, it talks all about Kavua, and all about Parish, and it's talking about a mixture of animals and a herd. Are animals in a herd Kavua? No, I mean, it would be very strange. You lock them all into prison cells or something. No, animals in a herd are running. I don't know what happens in factories nowadays, but animals in a herd are running around. What makes that kavua? Why does the Mark call it kavua? They say, when it's in the herd, it's kavua. If one runs away from the herd, it's parish. So when it's in the herd, called kavua kemet salmeta. When it runs away from the herd, it's parish, called the parish.
Same thing with 10 people standing.
Yeah.
What?
Same thing with 10 people standing.
No, except for the fact that the 10 people standing, A, are actually standing still.
I doubt the oxen in the herd are standing still. That's a particularly micro and common. You can tell which person is which. You can't tell which animal is which.
So the Rishonim all right. Tosos writes here. I don't know if I can find it right now. But Tosos writes here, it's quoted by the Beis Yosef here, that it's really not caught in bottle because it's Bali Chaim Lobatevi. It's really Dabar Chashav. A Dabar Chashav Midrabanan is called Kavua. Tarovis Dabar Chashav Midrabanan is called Kavua. Right, so what is now that's something which seems to come pretty clearly out of the Gemara, that they apply the word Kavua Midrabanan to a Tarovis of a Dabar Chashav. Why would they apply the word Kavua Midrabanan to a Tarovis of a Dabar Chashav? According to the Rashi, it makes perfect sense. The principle of Kavua, right? This explains two things. Right? Rashba explains, and this is why I think it's the right shot. Because it explains two things. Not just that it's a clever-sounding Hezbollah. Because you know what? If you're a clever guy, you can make up a clever-sounding Hezbollah for things. They explain two things. Number one, why the Gemara calls Tarovis Dover Chashuv by the name Kavua, of course, only Midrabanan. I'm not claiming that's not right. Everyone knows Dover Chashuv is only Midrabanan. But if live animals get mixed in, or Chatichu Rilis Kavi gets mixed in, they call that Kavua. What does that have to do with Kavua? That's a din of Einam B'Talim. Say, no, Kavua in the first place din of Einam B'Talim. The whole point of Kavua is that a Dover Chashuv, live, a Kavua is not bottle. So all the Rabbanan did was, Midaraisa, a Kavua is not bottle. Midrabanan, any Dover Chashuv is not bottle. This also explains something. This is a bit of a stretch. And this is really, I think, where the Rashi was coming from. But, you know, Rav Schechter always likes to quote the Rav as saying that every drabanan ke'en d'oraisa tikkun, meaning every takana, every zera takana the Rabbanan makes is an extension of some concept of d'oraisa. Why do the Rabbanan go there that d'or chashuv is not bottom? What d'oraisa were they extending? So that makes perfect sense. Mi d'oraisa kavua is not bottom. Midrabanan, they extended it to any Dabar Chashuv, even if it's not Kavua, it's not Batel. Midaraisa, something that's in a certain place and has a visible identity, is not Batel. midrabanan, anything important is not batal.
Isn't the simpler shot just tam? Meaning tam, which is recognizable, still even though you can't like see it, like it's felt. Something that's a dark hunch, it's also felt.
Okay, Beseder, okay, could be. I'm not denying that. We'll put this in parentheses. Okay, maybe we'll even just explain one thing then. Right? Well, I'm adding. The Rashba explains, maybe, the basis of the Gzeira Durabanan of the Rechashav Eino Batel is Kavua Eino Batel, Dover Kavua Eino Batel. Okay, that you could take or leave, but I think it's very meduyak that they use the concept of Kavua and Parish. As a matter of fact, in the Achronim, you know what Dover Chashav is called in the Achronim? It's called Kavua Midrabanan. They call Dover Chashav Kavua Midrabanan. What does that have to do with Kavua? If Kavua is about pretending the odds are different than they are, then why is the Rechashav called Kavua Midrabanan? But if you say no, it's not about pretending the odds are different. It's about seeing a Tarovis without Bittul that then has a unresolved identity that might as well be 50-50, then it makes a lot of sense that every Rechashav is just a Drabanan version of Kavua. Okay, that is... So you could pick your favorite way of explaining Kavua. You could say it's just Stam, a Zera Sagasa with no reason. That, let me say this a little better, that just act as if the odds are 50-50. Or you can say, no, the whole point is change your paradigm. Don't use the world of odds of Aslina Basaruba. Use the world of Tarobis of resolving the status of a group of items. And clearly, any group of items with an unresolved status might as well be 50-50, and we don't care about the exact proportions. Okay, that's the concept of Kavua. Now,
so is there a specific reason that you have to look at it as the stores and not the meat?
That's the Xeris Akasav. That's the Chlad Xeris Akasav. Now, the meaning is not for Xeris Akasav. Maybe I wouldn't have said that. Now, there's a few machlokos that come up here about the details of Kavua. So one comes up. Now, one can get into these very, very deeply, which, okay, if we have time, we get into a lot of things. Where does this come up, by the way? Okay, you can do, if you want, I'll just give you 100 pages Makoro packet on this to look at on your own. But one of the cases where Kavua comes up a lot nowadays, again, my example, the guy went to a butcher and didn't check if it was a kosher or treif butcher, you know, is not such a common example. But you can imagine a more reasonable example. What if my non-from friend went to a butcher and bought meat and didn't pay attention, which would be more reasonable that he wouldn't pay attention because he doesn't care anyway, right? And then showed up with the meat, would I be allowed to eat it or not? Right? Part of this depends on whether we treat him like Biyad Goy, whether we treat him like Biyad Yisrael, which is a big Indian. And this affects, okay, even that, how often does that happen? This is a big shot when it comes to Arla. What if you have a species? I'm just making up the numbers now. You can actually find the numbers, but I'm making them up for now. Apples. Let's say you have apples, and 1% of these apples are Arla. Meaning the trees last a long time, they don't plant new trees so often. You ask any expert, they'll tell you 1% is Arla. And what if it's 2%? You know what I mean? Meaning it's still very small. It's not like, there are only a very few things that are rove Arla. Someone told me most blueberries are Arla, or at least Arla, according to some shitas, etc. So I have to be very careful in the hashgacha of blueberries. Apples are pretty rare. Okay, what's the problem? The problem is, everyone knows where the Arla trees are. Meaning, or at least many people know, right? Let's say you can see the young trees. They look like young trees. Or, you know, maybe it's written down when they were planted. Or at the very least, it's publicly available information, perhaps. Right? And what if you have a non-from farmer who goes, collects all the apples, mixes them together, and then sells them? Right? So do you say, well, 99% mutter, it's mutter? Or do you say, no, each apple he took from a tree without paying attention to which tree it was, and each apple is kemetz al metzah because he took it from the kavua. This is a big, big inyan. This is what underlies all of the oral machlokos nowadays. Right? Meaning, if you're not choshish for kavua there, then basically any species, which is mostly not arla, is mutter. Because rove is not arla. Right? So you go and you find, you know, you go to Rami Levi, you find a bin this big of apples, you can assume it's not arla, because rove is not arla. Or do you say, no, this bin of apples was originally sold to Rami Levi by, whatever the wholesaler is, and it was originally sold to the wholesaler by the farmer, right? And this farmer, and the wholesaler knew which farmer was selling which, and the farmer knows which, and we know that some farmers have orla trees, so therefore, and he took from the tree without paying attention, maybe it's kavua kemetz al metzah. That is a big machlokas. Nowadays, among the poskim, it is very complex. I'm not going to get into it. But I just want to point out that if someone wants to really get into a lot of lumdus as to applications of kavua nowadays, you have to get into the question of arla. One of the questions is, if someone non-from picks, do we say, well, since he wasn't from and doesn't care about halacha, that's like a goy who picks. And the shaila doesn't start until a from yid buys the apple, if I then it's parish. Or do you say, no, he's still a yid. He should be from. And therefore, as soon as he picks it, the shaila starts there and it's kavua.
What, why is this orla? What about shvius?
Well, shvius, was in a certain time and otherwise not. And Shvius, during Shvius, most things are Shvius, so that's going to be Shvius, Lamaisa, during the Shemitah year, you're going to have to worry about it with or without Kavua. Because the robe is Shvius, and, now, you're not going to have to worry about it with or without Kavua, because they're all gone by now. So, but Erla, every year, they plant Erla. So, this is a big Shaila. Okay, as well as what happens if you collect all the trees and then mix them back together. Right? Is that still called, is that still called Kavua or not? Which ties into a little later in Sifvav, I think. Okay, anyone wants, I can give you a lot of makoros on it. Let's go on in the Ramah here. And let's look at a few shilas that come up here. Here and in Sif Hey. V'hadamrin, it says, are called the parish Ruba Parish, Hainu Shlo Pirish Lefaneinu. When do we say called the parish Ruba Parish? When we didn't see it leave the store. Avalim Pirish Lefaneinu. If we saw it leave the store, let me answer your question. What determines whether the shayla is on the store or on the meat? So says the Rambah, it's not when you hold it. It's not when you physically go there. If I physically go to the store, it's kavua on the store. If I physically see the meat not in the store, it doesn't depend if you're physically in the store or not. It depends if you're intellectually cognizant of the store. Not cognizant. If you're it depends if you're intellectually looking at the store or not. If I see, let's say I see it. A piece of meat fly out the window from a store, and I don't know which store it flew out the window from. Then since I saw the store, the shayla starts in the store, and it's kavua. Or let's say I see a guy leaving the store with a piece of meat. Then since I saw the store, the shayla starts there. So we don't define the shayla by what I'm physically in proximity to. We define the shayla by what I am conceptually thinking about. So if I see it leave the store, my shayla's on the stores, it's kavua. If I see it, and I'm not near the store, not in the store, then my shayla is about parish and it's mutter. Right? And therefore, in Pirish Lefaneinu Rosh Hashanah, Lachab Ki Lachab Misham Biyado. So this is what's called Pirish Lefaneinu. Pirish Lefaneinu. So why is this interesting? Because mitzad my actions, the Leidas HaSafik is in the meat that was parish. I don't touch the meat until it was parish. But mitzad, my knowledge, I would say my perception, then the leidas hasafek is in the store, which is kavua, right? So in terms of what I see a shayla in a store, because I see it leaving the store.
But in terms of what I touch, I never walked into the store. I never put my foot on the floor of the store or opened the door of the store. I only, after it got into the street, I picked up this piece of meat. So, what does the Rambam say? We go by what I see, not by what I touch, and we call that kavua. But here is a fundamental machlokas achronim that's summarized in the Shach here. Says the, what's the halacha? The Rambam says this is called kavua. But there's a machlokas bach and shach here. Right? The Bach is, it's a little funny. The Bach is actually not quoted right here. In the Shach. It's quoted in the next Shach. So Kut Chav Beis on the next Seif. But, so here you have to look in the Shachs of Kut Chav Beis for this. Says the Bach, Mi d'oraisa, it's parish. Only mi d'rabbanan, it's kavua. Meaning, the Bach says, mi d'oraisa, it's parish. Mi d'oraisa, we define the question. And we get it. It's all a question of how to define the question. It's the question of the meat of the store. Mi d'oraisa, we define the question by your physical proximity. And you never went into the store. It's only mi d'rabbanan to avoid confusion. They were goes or go by your sense perception. And to define it by what you see. And since you see it leaving the store, your shadow is about the store. The Shach disagrees, and the Shach says, no, even mi d'oraisa, this is mi din kavua, we don't care where you physically were, we care what you were looking at, to define Leidus HaSafik. that's what, let's say that's, it's going to be a little tricky if you, I think this is the best way to define this machlokas. It's not such an afkamina. Either way, you treat it as kavua and it's aser.
What's the svar of the
bat? The svar of the bat is that.
Why do we care about your actions? Something is fundamentally in your perception, right?
For example, you have no tarovas, etc.
Yeah, on an objective level, there's no something. It's known where it came from. It's like what's missing is just what you perceive. So who cares if you.
So, l'chora, this being an interesting question, I think the bat would say no. That's not true. The only reason that we brought in no turbos, etc., is there. It was all in your house that you owned and you touched already. But he would say, no, it's not considered halachic safek once you know. The Bach would say like this. You see the guy leaving the store. But, the guy's not your butler. You stop seeing a guy leaving the store with meat. So you see there's a safek. What kind of the meat? But it has no nafkamina, it's not no gea to you. Because the guy's meat, it's not your meat, what do you care? And therefore, there's no leidus hasafek until you have some shaychus to this meat. So maybe physically, I'm maybe changing my formulation. We care about the physical, because if you have no shaychus to this meat, who cares that you saw suffix? It's very nice, I'm walking down the street and I see a guy flipping a coin, and I don't know if it landed heads or tails. But it's not the latest of suffering, because what do I care about this guy flipping a coin? Well, at least not my problem.
But if it later becomes relevant to you, then it should matter. Because
maybe not. Maybe not. Okay, that's my focus. I will leave this for a more analysis. Again, you have to be careful in your analysis not to be social in the next machlokas. This is one very important machlokas about how to divide kavu and parsh. Meaning these are all questions of how to ask the question. Do you ask the question about the store, or do you ask the question about the meat? So what if you saw the meat leaving the store, but you didn't actually have any connection to the meat until it was already on the street? So that's machlokas in the Bach and the Shach on the Raisa level, but nonetheless, we pass in Lamaisa, that it's Kavua, and so this is a great enough meaning. Let's say in your own backyard, you have three apple trees, and one of them is Arba. Right? If you find an apple on the floor, you can eat it. Called a parish, you're a parish. If you see an apple fall off a tree, but you don't see which tree it fell off, then you can't eat it. Because you saw it leave the makom kvias. And therefore, called kavua, and that's all left to dummy. Either be d'oraisa or be d'rabbanan, but l'maisa, you can't eat it. So that could be, again, I don't know how often this happens. I bet that if you did see an apple fall off a tree, it's probably good odds that you didn't notice which tree it was. And then pretty good, you saw the apple fall off the tree. And you don't know which tree it is.
That's kavua, because you saw it come off the tree, the shiloh's on the tree, and the tree is kavua. And therefore, you can't eat it. You have to burn it. Halacha l'maisa. But if you stand, wake up in the morning, go out to your yard and find an apple on the floor, even though the odds are 33.3% is early, you can eat it. That's called a parish. Remember by parish. That's a real halacha. Okay, so another machlokis that comes up here is maybe we'll save that for a little later. Dalet. Okay, Dalet is a little tricky because it's really based on. You know what? Let's cheat a little here. Another fascinating machlokas, which is brought up by the Shach here, it's really Shach more than Sifhei, is the question called Kavua Lemafreya. Kavua Lemafreya. What does Kavua Lemafreya mean? It means like this. We retroactively discover it was a Shiloh of Kavua. What does that mean? There are 10 kosher butchers. There are 10 kosher butchers a month. And I go to one of them and I don't pay any attention which, because they're all kosher. I go to the kosher butcher. Everyone knows kosher butchers. So a full chassidim. Right? I don't pay attention which it is. I follow all the chassidim. That's what I'm using.
That's the point.
That's my point. Right? You know the chumrah I wanted? I thought we should make it to Khan after that story. We should require all kosher butchers to be modern Orthodox. Why? Because the guy's modern Orthodox and Nashkochim, so you wouldn't watch him. And wouldn't let him get away with anything. Just he looked very, holy. So they didn't watch him, they trusted him too much. And they let him get away with things. So from now on, I think you should only shop in America at butchers who don't look too from. Because that way you know that the Ashkocha agency is going to keep an eye on him and not cut him any slack.
In Israel, they keep an eye even on the.
You could be with eye different ways. We'll leave that for now. Anyway, that's the thing. If you ever move to Muncie, you should try to find a butcher who looks like he looks very, very iffy, not like a vigorous Shemayim. And then you can be sure that his meat is kosher. But let's say again, Muncie. Without getting to the actual shaila that happened here, I go to the butcher store and I buy meat. And then I come home, and I wake up the next morning, and all the newspapers, all the from newspapers, talking about the latest scandal, that one butcher shop in Muncie is treif. But I don't know which butcher shop I bought this meat at. But this actually did happen to people. Because that didn't pay attention. A guy shops at many butcher shops. In his freezer, he has one chicken. He doesn't remember when, where. He bought this chicken sometime in the last month. And he doesn't remember which store, because he shops at all the stores different times. So is this chicken kosher or treif? That, on the one hand, you could say, the latest asafek is now in the chicken. Called the parish, remove a parish. There's no latest asafek until I woke up this morning when I have one chicken in my freezer. One chicken in my freezer is called a parish, remove a parish. And then they're going to say, no, go back retroactively. I should have had that retroactively the latest asafek was, which store did I buy this chicken at? That's what's called a freya. The latest asafek only came when I woke up this morning and have a chicken in the freezer. But it, retroactively could, and we retroactively can push the latest asafek back to when I bought this chicken. So what do we say? If we retroactively push it back to when I bought this chicken, then kol kavua kemes al mechadami, it's treif. If we, mikanu lahava, say there's only suffix now. Now I found it in my freezer. If I find chicken in my freezer, that's called a parish meruba parish. Right? good question. No?
Wait, isn't that any time you have parish, you could push it back to when it was originally purchased?
No, because any time, if I find it in the street, then I wouldn't push it back because I didn't buy it, I found it in the street. So, theoretically you could. But we don't push it back when you were not involved. Here it's unique. You're right. Theoretically, you could have said, always push it back and then eliminate the rule of parish. But we don't. Al-Pi Zeres HaGasa, we don't do that. But what if, when I wasn't involved, what if I was involved? If I was involved, do we push it back? Right? So that's the question. Kavua lemafreya. Again, what does that mean? That means that Monday I bought from one of 10 kosher stores. Tuesday, discover one store was treif, meaning it was always treif. Right? By the way, in the actual Muncie Butcher case, obviously another tzad b'chakal was that even in that store, not all the chickens were treif. He bought some kosher chickens so he could show receipts. But it was not pashtish. But you got into a lot of kavua and parish shaylas that Muncie Butcher. You really got into this whole kavua l'mafreya shayla. To the best of my knowledge, I think the mainstream minhag in Muncie at the time was, throw out the chicken, but your dishes are still kosher. You know, that's where they drew the line for various halachic reasons, especially the dishes aren't binyon, one's only drabon and shayla, etc. That was even for people who bought at this butcher. But then you discover one store was treif. What do you do if then you discover one store was treif? So then it depends how you look at it. If you look at it, lema freya, it's kavua. But if you look at it as mikano lahaba, then it's parish, right? So do you apply the rule of kavua retroactively? And as Zev points out, if I hadn't bought it, if I found it on the street, for sure it would go retroactive. But if I bought it, we go retroactively. Chesky's thinking it's tempting to view this as the mirror image of this Londis, except that the cheapest one will work out, so it's not so much. So this is a fundamental machlokas rishonim and achronim. What to do in such a case, if you discover later. The Rashba and the Ran and the...
Are they together? I was confused.
You have to let me finish my paragraph. You're right. You just have to let me finish my paragraph. Do you have space here? Yes. So what do we say in this case? The Rashba and the Ran say mutter. They say we don't say kavula mafreya. And that the phrase of this is that. Right, exactly. Ein ba l'chidusha, it's a chiddush, we don't say a chiddush l'mafreya. This is a needle in all of Shas. There's a concept, we don't say a chiddush l'mafreya. Right? Anyone? Think of a case having nothing to do with our sugya whatsoever in Shas, where Rava doesn't say chiddush l'mafreya. Eitzome, right? Eitzome l'mafreya when ifsol l'kan l'bon ifsol, right? So says Rava, it's not ifsol l'mafreya because it's a chiddush. Therefore, we don't say chiddush l'mafreya. So that's the mainstream approach. You don't say chiddush l'mafreya, right? Why? The mainstream approach is because we don't say a chiddush l'mafreya. However, which Rishon clearly disagrees?
The Ra'ah.
The Ra'ah says that it's asur midu say it l'mafreya. Okay. Rebbe Chanan on that sugya v'etzomim suggests that maybe Abaye holds that we do say a chiddush l'mafreya. And we end one of the Alkiyos. Pass like a bite. So there's a mucker for the Ra.
Don't we use it in other places also? Use it.
Yeah, okay, but it's Rochon also Nushas. So obviously it's not so pushit. I'm not going to get into that, but you know, you're both the Rochon and Nushas.
100 times.
Better than me, I'm not speaking for anyone else. So this is a fundamental machlokas. This is a fundamental. Machlokes, the mechaber in Sifhei, we'll get to it, seems to be Mekel. However, here we have machlokes between the Shach and the other Achronim. What's the machlokes between the Shach and the other Achronim? Let's just make ourselves a little mechaber Sifhei, says Mutter. Says, if you took from a tarovis of chatichos or liskabet, which are all kosher, and you took one home, let's say there's one butcher store, but every piece was real liskabet, you bought one piece, took it home, and then discovered that some of the pieces were treif, you don't go back to my frey and say it was chatir rilis kabi, it's all usher. You say, no, now it's parish and it's mutter. Says the shach, and of course the shach says with a lot of confidence to the point that Chesed is confused, says the shach, you know what the Rashba really holds, and you know what the Machaber really holds, and you know what we really hold? That when it comes to kavua midrabanan we're mekel and kavua l'mafreya, but when it comes to kavua midaraisa, we say kavua l'mafreya and we agree with the Ra. He wants to make the Rashba agree with the Ra.
I didn't understand what point.
What the Rashba's voted out something other. The so says the. Now within this, there's two approaches.
So what do you mean by kavua midaraisa?
One is, okay, one is the Shach al-Pi Rashba, and the other is the other Achronim, right? So, I mean, every single other Achron, obviously. Okay, what's the two approaches? Says the Shach here in Siv Gimel, al-Pi the Rashba, he says there's two kinds of Kavua. There is, first let me do the other Achronim. The other Achronim say that, very Pashat, Mutter, we don't say Kavua Limafreya, end of discussion. That's what they understand. Because what does the Machaber say? The Machaber says, someone who bought Basar from a butcher store, a Chatik Liskabed, and then later discovered some of the pieces were treif. And no one knows which piece is kosher, which piece is treif. Everything he bought is mutter. Because he didn't have a suffix the time he went to the Tarovis. He only had the suffix later after his pirish. That's very clear. Says the Shach, so say the other acronym, we don't say kavua l'mafreya, like everyone against the Ra. Whoever heard of pasul like the Ra? You ever heard of anyone ever pasul like the Ra?
No, so the Beis Yosef groups the Rosh for the Ra and the Tosos, or whatever it was, like a third.
Tosos, the Rosh, etc.
If he groups them all together, it's saying they hold the same sheet.
Yes!
I mean, clearly.
Everyone bought the Shach!
No, but if he's saying it in the Machaber, I'm saying the Beis Yosef says what he holds.
Okay, fair enough. You know, you could correct the Pesach of the Machaber as opposed to the personal opinion of the Machaber. Okay, says the Shach a big Kiddush. Says the Shach, he says, no. He says there's different kinds of Kavua. He says, real Kavua, midoraisa, like Teisha Chanuyos, is aser even l'mafreya. Real kavua midoraisa like teisha chanuyos is aser even l'mafreya. Monty butcher is aser even l'mafreya, says the Shach. But kavua midrabanan like taroves of chaticha rulis kabin. Chaticha rulis kabin, you have one butcher store. You have a lot of chatichah rilis kabi. That's not kavua midoraisa. The pieces of meat aren't fixed in place. It's not in the car. You don't know exactly which piece of meat is which. This is just classic tarovis of chatichah rilis kabi, which is called kavua midorabanan. In that case, is not aser l'mafreya. That's the Shach's chiluk, based on the Shach, that based on his reading of the Rashba, which no one else agrees with. You know, but I never personally take on the Shach, but none of the Echron agree with his read of the Rashba. Says the Shach, says if you're dealing with just the Rabbanan Shailu, Taros, Chetiru, Liskabeh, then if you took it, you thought they were all kosher, and only discovered this, the scandal when you got home, you don't go back to my phrase. You say, Mikana Lahaba, I have one piece of meat in my house that's parish called the parish Ruba Parish. But it would be the Raisa Kavua, like, you now discovered a store that's kavua was treif. Then you'd have to go back to my friend and say, I took one of 10 stores, I don't know which store I took from, and it's treif. That's the chumra of the Shach. Agav, the Shach says, well, what if it was parish lefaneinu? Well, according to me, that's the oraisa, and the bach, that's the rabbanan. So he says, you know what, betseirof, those who say you don't say kavua lemafreya, and the bach who says the rabbanan, makom hasu ruba, you can be mekel. Okay, so if you have parish lefaneinu l'mafreya, you can make a makom hefsim meruba, says the Shach. But that's that. Elamaisa, how do we paskin on this fundamental machlokes? The Prichadosh is makel on this. The Rimagadim is not so makel. The Prichadosh is makel. The Orach HaShulchan says it's makel. Ein l'chavo el chidusho, and that's not pashup shot in the Rashba. The simple pshat is, the din is like the other achronim. Like the Rashba, like the other achronim, not like the Shach. I'm not saying there's no room to be machmir, but the Ikar din says the Prichadosh, says the Orach HaShulchan, ein l'chobel chidusho, even though the Shach is very great. This is not the standard understanding of the Rashba. It's only the standard understanding of the Ra'ah to be machmir, and no one's ever passed like the Ra'ah. So halach l'maisa, I think we can be making l'shailas kavul l'mafreya. Okay, yesh makom l'adun, etc. But this is a big tzad mahakel. If you have a case like Muncie Butcher, where you only realize the latest hasafik much later, right? You only realize much later the latest hasafik. Okay, there. Another complicated factor is who realized the safik. You or the butcher, you know? But clearly there is a big tzad l'hakel in the Muncie Butcher cases, and this is one of the biggest tzad l'hakel, that since you didn't know at the time you went to the store, you only knew afterwards, then you can say that there's no kavul mafreya, you can follow Rove, and once you follow Rove, then there's room to be makel. Now again, that was for people who don't know what store they bought their meat at. It got a little trickier. What about people who know they bought chicken at this store? It's actually chicken, I think. Yeah. Let's say they know they bought chicken at this store, and they know they cooked in their pots. They know in the last month, they bought at least 5 chickens in his store and cooked in their pots. Then it gets more complicated. And you have to be more creative to find sudden lahakel. But lamaisa, you know, there's... Then you have to deal with two things. Number one is, can you prove how long he's been doing this? So the problem is sometimes you could. Then the problem is he sold some kosher chicken, some treif chicken, but which was the rove? And maybe it's a 50-50 suffix. And if it's a suffix, what kind of chicken you bought? Then we suffix, does that make your pots treif or kosher? Okay, that was a big shaila. Lamaisa, the big tzad l'hakel was, if you only have the latest asafik after 24 hours from using your dishes, then maybe it's only safik d'rabbanan. And because after 24 hours it's only d'rabbanan, it's eino ben yomo, and safik d'rabbanan l'kula. But, okay, we're not getting into that. Now that has to do with the big Rabbi Akiva Eger l'kolei sfik sfik on later in hour 7. I think Rabbi Kevin's going to come in soon. Okay, let me just mention, there's other, obviously, more to discuss in terms of this, but these are some basics about Kavua. Number one, what's a svara for Kavua? Number two, what about Pirush Lefaneinu? Number three, what about Kavua L'mafreya? One very important issue discussed by the Piskei Chufs of Cut and Bays has to do with Parish, not with Kavua. Parish, you play the odds, you go by the rove. How do you measure the rove? How do you measure the rove, Piskei Tshuva, Sifkut, and Beis? What's the problem? From all of Shas Rishonim, how do you measure the rove? You count the number of
pieces.
Of course, right? 90%. Don't they always say like 90% because they're Teshuvah Nuvios? When you found the rove in the parish, do you go by the most stores? Or most pieces of meat sold by the stores. What if there's small stores and big stores? Small stores sell 100 pieces a day, the big stores sell 1,000 pieces a day. So when you're calculating the odds for Parish, do you count the stores or count the volume of business in the stores? Here it's a little tricky, because from all the Rishonim, it sounds like you count the number of stores. If more stores are kosher, then Rove kosher. Then the odds are kosher. But logically, if you ask a mathematician, a statistician, what should you count? Not the number of pieces of meat in the stores, the number of meat sold daily by the stores, right? I mean, I don't care if one store has more inventory, but I care what's, there's probably a word for this in business, like how much business they do every day, their turnover in the store, whatever, how much they sell every day. You ask how many kosher pieces of meat are sold every day, how many trade pieces are sold every day, and you could have a weird case. What if you have 9 kosher stores, 1 trade store, but the trade store is a giant warehouse, and the kosher stores are small mom and pop operations? The trade store sells 1,000 pieces every day. Each kosher store sells 100, it's only 900. Most meat sold is trade, but most stores that sell are kosher. What do you do in that case? He brings a big machlokes achronim in that case. And I think the tension is, the makoros sound like you count the stores, but logic says you should count the sales volume of the stores. Halacha l'maisa, it seems that we're machmer both ways. Okay, you have to figure out in complicated cases how to move tzarif it as a sniff lahaka, but l'maisa, we're probably machmer both ways because logically it really seems you should go by the sales volume of kosher and treif. I don't care how many stores there are, I care how many pieces are sold daily. On the other hand, the makoros all talk about counting how many stores there are. Okay, because they assume in their days all stores are equal.
Yeah, isn't that like a code word for us? They mean that. Yeah.
Misvar, it really seems like you should go by sales volume. Misvar, but what would you do if the sales volume was a kula and the number of stores is a chumra? Yesh la'ayin, we're not going to pass on that now. Okay, to be continued, Amir Tashem on Wednesday at 4 o'clock. Wednesday at 4 o'clock. It's mutter to learn your day on Tuesday.